Tell us a little bit about your company.
Well, we do old school style point and click adventure games for the PC for now. We've been doing it since about 2006. It's a small company, me and my wife. We work on these from our apartment and sell them off our website.
The cool thing I've read on your site is most of your games have been developed in coffee shops and, like,
yeah,
chains all over New York City. Can you just talk about that?
Oh, sure. Well, when I first started, I had I was teaching English in Korea. And my apartment, I own my apartment in the East Village, and I had rented it out for a year. And I got back, it was still being rented out, so I was living with my parents. And there's nothing worse than living with your parents when you don't have a job, and both of them are retired. So I would take my laptop, and I wanted to work on a game. I didn't feel like getting a full-time job right after I got back. So I took my laptop, and I went to cafes in the area, just as a way to kind of tell myself I was really working. And I just sort of stuck with it. And I wrote a game, and I sold it as a way of kind of avoiding getting a real job. And 5 years later, I'm still doing the same thing. So,
why are you still around? Like, how's the company doing, and what does it do for you?
What does it do for me? Well, it enables me to make a living doing what I really like doing. I started making these types of games, these point-and-click adventure games, about 10 years ago. Just after 9/11, I wasn't working then either. I was between jobs. And I was looking for something to kind of take my mind off that. And I was a huge fan of the old Sierra-style games. And I found this third-party engine called Adventure Game Studio, which I claimed to take a lot of the grunt work out of making one. So I downloaded and I tried it, and I released a small game, uploaded it, and people seemed to really like it. So I just kept making them, but just in my spare time. And then in 2006, as I said, I just started doing it as a way to avoid getting a real job. Decided to sell it, see if I could do anything with it.
Yeah.
And then it did take off. And 10 years later, I mean 5 years later, actually exactly 5 years. 5 years ago is when I first registered my website. So it's been exactly 5 years. So I'm still doing it. That answer your question, I go completely off the rails.
No, you absolutely answered the question. Okay. So how does your wife play a role in all of this? I mean, that's pretty awesome that she completely supports you in all of this.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, she made real games, quote-unquote. I'm, like, doing air quotes like you can see them. But she, when I met her at a game developer conference in San Francisco, and she was working for mobile, doing mobile games for, like, years. Like, seven years she'd been doing them at that point. And when we got married, she left her job, because she's from England. So she left her job and now is working with me. And we're both making these games full time, so it's pretty awesome.
Okay, considering how prevalent the iPad has become in the past like year or so, Gemini Roof, perfect example. I think that would work really well on an iPad. Are you thinking of porting some of these games over?
Yeah, you're not the first to say that or request it. That is definitely on our agenda. The problem is, like I said, I used a third-party engine called Adventure Game Studio to make these games, and it was made 10 years ago. And back then, no one really heard of portability or cross-platform. It was just Windows only. And it's recently went open source. So we're hoping, it's a huge task because it's 10 years worth of legacy code to go through. But after our next project is done, my wife really wants to crack it open and take a look and see if she can port it to iOS and get it on the iPad. Because we think that, not just Gemini Roo, but everything we've done, we think that would be just a great thing to have in general, to be able to get not only our games on the iPad or iOS, but all Adventure Game Studio games on the iPad. We think it would be a great thing to have. So we're hoping to do that, just not possible yet.
Okay, these types of games are incredibly niche. You know, they have a cult following. They have people that have played them their entire lives, will continue to play them their entire lives. How do you access them?
Well, it helped that I had done those freeware games for a long time. So that helped me get my start, but there's only so far that can take you. I mean, it took a long time. I mean, a lot of just pushing it, hooking up with Emily, PR consultant, helped. She worked for Telltale, so she knew really where to go to get very adventure game-friendly media sites interested. So that helped, the marketing, the PR, pushing it all the time, just really believing in it also. I mean, it's very easy to put something out there and not do well and think, okay, that's it. My first game got a lot of media attention. But it didn't get a lot of sales. It was called The Shiva. It was a murder mystery starring a rabbi. And it was written up everywhere, but I can't say it sold terribly well. But based on all the attention, I'm like, all right, maybe there's something here. And I had to beg money off of relatives to keep myself going, and I just pushed it. I just kept. It's really hard to say what specific thing I did to help reach that audience, but it was just years of keep doing it, of just growing it, really. I can't really pinpoint any specific thing.
Okay, so can you just tell us about some of your newer games?
Sure. We just released a game called Blackwell Deception, which is the fourth game in the Blackwell series. The series is about a medium and a spirit guide who help lost souls and ghosts move on, and in doing so, solve some big supernatural conspiracy. And this one is about street psychics, how a bunch of mysterious deaths are connected to these street psychics. And just sort of, they investigate what goes on there, and you'll learn a little bit about the Joey character, who's been, his backstory's been kind of kept in the dark for the last couple of games, and a little bit more is revealed about him this time around.
Okay, so what are your plans for the future? What are your goals for your company?
Well, you mentioned Gemini Rue before.
Yes.
That wasn't written by me, that was written by someone else, and I acted as a publisher.
Nice.
And I'm trying to do more of that. Get more games, sign up more games to release them as a publisher, mainly because I find myself very limited. I can only make a certain kind of game. I can't really make it bigger or more ambitious because I got to get it out fast in order to bring in more money. And Gemini Rue was a godsend because it did really well, but it also gave me some elbow room to make Blackwell Deception even better. And I've signed up three other games. I can't say what they are yet, but they should all be coming out next year.
Okay, let's just describe the game creation process, because it's a very mom-and-pop, you know, organized structure. How do you get, like, voice talent? How do you, all the nuts and bolts, all those little things?
Oh.
Sound effects, voice talent, how do you get all those things?
The voice actors I know personally, most of them. Mostly through the guy who plays Joey in Blackwell. I casted most of it for him, because he just knows a lot of actors, being an actor himself. And I just sort of cultivated my usual crew of actors through that. And after, I think I've released about 8 games altogether, having done so many, I know exactly who to call for what kind of part.
Nice.
And everything else, the music, I just know a lot of composers. The guy I usually work with, his name is Thomas Reagan. He's been with me since almost the beginning. Sound effects, a lot of royalty-free sound effects sites out there. I use those. The art, whatever freelancer I can get my hands on. Every game is different because I don't have any full-time person on staff. So I get whoever's available and whoever I can afford. If I had a really good game, I can get someone better. If I have a game that didn't do well, the next game I have to get some college kid. So the graphical quality of all my games tends to vary. But the writing and the characters and all of that all remains pretty consistent because that's on me.
Okay, what did you grow up playing?
Oh, gosh. I grew up playing Nintendo, mostly. I grew up on Infocom because I had an Apple II C growing up in the 80s. So I had a lot of Infocom games, a lot of early Sierra games, which have come no surprise to anyone. LucasArts. I didn't play a lot of shooters. I missed a lot of the games in the 90s because I was in college with no console and no... I had a little black and white Mac PowerBook, so I didn't play a lot of games then. So, mostly the adventure games and role-playing games, like Dragon Warrior and that sort of stuff. Or Dragon Quest, but it's, I don't know which one it is.
Okay, let's just say someone comes across your site on the internet and they're like, oh, I haven't played these games in a while. Why should they pick your company? Why should they play your games?
To help us pay our mortgage. No. Well, it's really... why should you play our games? Well, they're very story-based. They're very... I like to think we have something more to offer than a AAA game would have. Even a AAA adventure game tends to focus a lot more on the casual end of things, because that's kind of the mainstream. And what we try to do is focus more on the hardcore. we want hardcore players to like our games. And so that's what we try to focus on.